I read you Psalm 53. To the choir master, according to Mahalath, a maskil of David, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have those who work evil no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great terror, where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. Psalm 53 is actually Psalm 14 with some minor revisions and the addition of the last two lines in verse 5. One of the sanctuary musicians probably revised the original psalm to fit a new occasion. And the new occasion is perhaps the defeat of the Assyrian army in the days of King Hezekiah. Psalm 53 verse 5, there they are in great terror, where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Now this word fool in Psalms or Proverbs does not refer to an unintelligent person. It refers to a person who is morally perverse. Why is he a fool? Because the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53 verse 1. And what is the result? They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Psalm 53 verse 1. God looks down and says, does anybody have a clean heart? Psalm 53 verse 2. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. And the answer is no. There can be no true wisdom and understanding without a reverential fear of God. Psalm 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when people don't fear God, they have no wisdom. They cannot receive revelatory knowledge of God. Understanding of God doesn't come through the intellect. It comes because God reveals himself to us through his word. So people who don't fear God, they have no wisdom. They cannot receive revelatory knowledge of God without the fear of him. When God appeared on Mount Sinai, the people of Israel came to Moses and told him in fear. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 26 to 27 we read, Deuteronomy 5 verses 26 to 27, for who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and has still lived? Go near and hear all that the Lord our God will say, and speak to us all that the Lord our God will speak to you, and we will hear and do it. Then you find Moses tells them in Deuteronomy chapter 5 verses 28 and 29, and the Lord heard your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever. So you see, when people don't fear God, they have no wisdom. They cannot receive knowledge of God. They cannot receive revelatory knowledge of God without the fear of him. But the fool says, there is no God, which is practical atheism. Most of the people in the world today live by this philosophy that says, there may be a God, but I'm not going to think about him. There may be a God, but I'm not going to think about him. God is not in their thoughts, and consequently, he is not in their lives. Psalm 53 deals with the character and conduct of the practical atheist. Psalm 53 adds to the message of Psalm 10 and Psalm 12 and Psalm 14. Psalm 10 speaks about their proud attitude. Psalm 12 speaks about their deceitful words. The proud attitude of the atheist, the deceitful words of the atheist. Now Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 deals with their corrupt deeds. All that they are and all that they say and do comes from their arrogant and ignorant belief that there is no God. Now Psalm 53 uses the name God, Elohim, instead of Lord, L-O-R-D, Jehovah. And that's the word used for God in Psalm 14, Jehovah. But here it is Elohim. Now Psalm 53 also replaces Psalm 14 verse 5 with an addition to verse 5. Psalm 14 verse 5 says, there they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. But in Psalm 53 verse 5 we read, there they are in great terror where there is no terror, for God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. In Psalm 14, David contrasts the workers of iniquity in Israel with the godly remnant, the generation of the righteous. Psalm 14 verse 5, there they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. Now this remnant of the righteous ones in Israel, they sought to obey the terms of God's covenant. And during the reign of King Saul, the spiritual level of the nation was very low. Many Jews followed the example of Israel's first king, King Saul. But even in the worst of times, God has always cared for his faithful remnant, and he has been their refuge in times of trouble. Now, what are the characteristics of these practical atheists? Number one, we find willful folly, because they ignore God. Psalm 53 verses 1 to 3. Then we find that God confronts them. So there is sudden fear. They meet God. Psalm 53 verses 4 to 5. Then we find a joyless future in their lives. They have no God. Psalm 53 verse 6. We will go through all these characteristics. First we will see their willful folly, because they ignore God. Psalm 53 verses 1 to 3. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Now the English word for fool comes from the Latin word bellows. Remember the blacksmith? He uses bellows. And this suggests that a fool is a person who is full of hot air, because that's what the bellows do. The blacksmith uses the bellows. And this word, fool, comes from that word, bellows. Full of hot air. Full of hot air. In the Hebrew language, there are three basic words for fool. Number one is the word kesil, the dull, stupid fool. Then you have the next word, evil, the unreasonable and perverted fool. And the third word is the word nabal, the brutish person who is like a stubborn animal. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 uses this word, nabal. Remember Nabal, the husband of Abigail in 1 Samuel chapter 25, who refused to help David and his men. Now people who say there is no God are not necessarily lacking in intelligence. In fact, some of them may be very brilliant as far as academics and other skills are concerned. But they lack spiritual insight. They lack divine wisdom. They lack the knowledge of God. David tells us that what you believe about God affects your will. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Psalm 53 verse 1. So to say that there is no God is to say there is no good. Divine wisdom does not come by being born intelligent. It comes by revelation from God, as I said earlier. And God reveals himself to the humble and contrite in heart. Isaiah chapter 66 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 66 verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. So God reveals himself to the humble, contrite in heart. The Nabal fool has a moral problem in the heart, not a mental problem in the head. He has a problem in the heart. And Nabal fools are self-righteous and they don't need or they don't want to know God. They want to live their own lives the way they please. Their problem is willful ignorance. That's their problem. Their problem is willful ignorance, not lack of normal intelligence. They may be very intelligent, but they're willfully ignorant. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 5. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verses 18 to 20, the apostle Paul tells us what happens, what kind of people these people are, because they suppress the truth. Romans chapter 1 verses 18 to 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. And the rest of Romans chapter 1 describes their condition. But this decision of rejecting God causes very sad consequences in both their character and also in their conduct. By leaving God out of their lives, their inner person, their hearts become more and more corrupt. Psalm 53 verse 1 speaks about their hearts. Psalm 53 verse 1, the fool says in his heart there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. And in verse 2, we find verse 2 speaks about their minds. Psalm 53 verse 2. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. You see, what you believe about God also affects your mind. God looks down from heaven upon humanity to see if there were any who understood, who sought him. And not one was found. They do not understand, and they do not want to understand. They want to live their lives without God. Psalm 53 verse 3 also speaks about the condition of their wills. The condition of their wills. Psalm 53 verse 3. Psalm 53 verse 3. They have all fallen away together. They have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Now the Hebrew word translated corrupt in Psalm 53 verse 1 and also in verse 3 is the word shokath, shokath. It is the same word used to describe the useless loincloth of Jeremiah, mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 13 verse 7. Jeremiah 13 verse 7. Then I went to the Euphrates and dug, and I took the loincloth from the place where I had hidden it, and behold, the loincloth was spoiled, shokath. It was good for nothing. The word means rotten, putrid, decay. People are not only decaying. When God looks down and investigates, he sees people who are filthy. Psalm 53 verse 3, the King James Version. Psalm 53 verse 3, the KJV. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now the Hebrew word translated as filthy is used to describe milk that has become rancid. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6 verses 11 and 12. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Genesis chapter 18 verses 20 and 21. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Psalm 53 verse 3. They have all fallen away. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Now the words fallen away means they have turned their backs on God. Man was created for the glory of God. Fallen away means rejecting God and refusing to fulfill the purpose for which a person is created. Refusing to glorify God. Psalm 53 verse 3. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The indictment is universal. All people individually or all together cannot do anything at all that is good enough to merit heaven. I repeat, all people individually or all together cannot do anything at all that is good enough to merit heaven. No, not one. So the Apostle Paul quotes from this Psalm, Psalm 14, from this Psalm, Psalm 53, and also Psalm 14 in Romans chapter 3, to prove that the whole world is guilty before God and can be saved only by the grace of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 10. As it is written, none is righteous. No, not one. Romans 3 verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Human depravity doesn't mean that all persons are as wicked as they can be. It does not mean that all are equally bad. It is not that no man or woman can ever do anything good. Jesus did acknowledge that people can do good. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Man's intrinsic evil or depravity means that he is incapable of changing his fallen, sinful nature that he is born with. It means that apart from the grace of God, no one can be saved from eternal judgment. That's what it means. Psalm 53 verse 1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Now the two words, there is, in verse 1, were added by the translators to help complete the meaning of the verse. So we can actually read the verse like this. The fool has said in his heart, no God. The fool has said in his heart, no God. The fool not only says that there is no God, he also says no to God. When man says no to God, he is telling him that he knows more about life than God does, and that he has more authority than God has. Man then cuts himself off from the blessings that God wants to give. The most foolish thing that a person can do is to leave God out of his or her life. And such a person cuts himself off from the source of life and blessing. So never make the mistake of the fool. Don't turn away, but turn back to the Lord and submit to his authority. Now the second characteristic of practical atheists is sudden fear, because they meet God. God confronts them. Psalm 53 verses 4 to 5. Have those who work evil no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great terror where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Someone asked the agnostic British philosopher Bertrand Russell what he would say if when he died, he suddenly found himself standing before God. You know what Russell replied? Russell replied that he would say, you did not give us sufficient evidence. If the heavens above us, the earth beneath, if the heavens above us and the earth beneath our feet, the wonders of nature around us and the life and conscience within us don't convince us of a wise and powerful creator, how much more evidence must the Lord give? An atheist Russian cosmonaut said he looked carefully while he was in space and didn't see God. Someone commented, if he had opened the door of the space capsule, he would have met him. The time comes when God and the sinner suddenly meet. If you look up these passages in the scripture, Belshazzar, in Daniel chapter 5, the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, the people in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 17, in all these passages, we find that there comes a time when God and the sinner suddenly meet. Psalm 53 verse 4. Have those who work evil no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? Practical atheists take advantage of the weak and the poor, and they will not call upon the Lord. To eat people like bread means to exploit the helpless, and we have seen that in our own nation. Psalm 27 verse 2. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Psalm 35 verse 25. Let them not say in their hearts, aha, our hearts desire. Let them not say we have swallowed him up. Micah chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Micah chapter 7 verse 3. Their hands are on what is evil, to do it well. The prince and the judge ask for a bribe, and the great man utters the evil desire of his soul. Thus they weave it together. You find similar passages in Micah. Micah chapter 3 verses 1 to 3. Lamentations chapter 2 verse 16, Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 25, Amos chapter 2 verses 6 to 8, Micah chapter 3 verses 1 to 3, Lamentations chapter 2 verse 16, Jeremiah 10 verse 25, and Amos chapter 2 verses 6 to 8. You find similar passages. It is evil when people are used as means to an end or treated as consumer goods. Psalm 53 verse 5. There they are in great terror where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Psalm 14 verse 5. There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. Both in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 verse 5 says clearly that what you believe about God affects your heart. There they are in great terror where there is no terror. The fear of God comes upon people even though they don't believe in him. The Lord suddenly appears before them in judgment, and he identifies himself with the remnant of faithful believers. Most likely, this suggests a great military victory that left all the enemy, the Assyrian army, dead, unburied, and therefore humiliated. Let's ask ourselves, do we live our lives as though God were not watching? Do we speak as though he was not listening? Do we think and ponder in our hearts as though he were not aware? No. Let us as believers in Christ live as those who say, yes, we know God and we want to glorify him. Most of the people in this world do not know God. Most of the people. Some of that fault is because of us Christians. We are the ones who should be praying more, giving more, and witnessing more so that the lost world comes to Christ. It has been said that everybody believes in someone or something. Trust involves the whole inner being. What you believe affects your heart, mind, and will. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God responds to your inner man and he fellowships with you. He wants you to trust him and glorify him with your life. Now ask yourself this question. Am I a witness to those around me? Do I actually live to glorify God? As believers in Christ, we are also in a spiritual battle. Remember, we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We are included in His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. So He has raised us up. We are standing on victory ground. We are seated with Him in the heavenly places. And the enemy is a defeated foe. The enemy has not conceded defeat. And therefore, we must execute the verdict of victory against the enemy by faith. We therefore can claim victory by the blood of Christ, and in Jesus' name, we can command the enemy to flee. But we must recognize that the battle is on and we are in the battlefield. The Christian life is not a playground. I've said this before. It is a battlefield. We must recognize that the battle is on and we must recognize that the battle has been won. And because we are in Christ, we can regain the territory that is ours once again. We lost dominion in Adam, but we regained dominion in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to move forward in Christ's name and reclaim lost territory. And God will enlarge our territory. There will be many more souls come to turn to Christ when we walk in step with Him, led by His Spirit. So how do we move forward in Christ's name? How do we reclaim lost territory? We do so by walking in faith, walking with the Holy Spirit, walking by the Word of God, in worship, in prayer, living holy lives, submitting to God, resisting the devil, and he will flee. Psalm 14 verse 6. You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Imagine God suddenly appearing in court and ousting the corrupt judge. God is in the generation of the righteous. God is their refuge when the enemy attacks, and God will protect his own people. We are living in very perilous times, and our refuge must be in Christ alone. The third characteristic of practical atheists is a joyless future. They have no God. Psalm 53 verse 6. Nabal fools have a joyless future because they have no God. But God's children rejoice. Psalm 53 verse 6. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when God restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice. Let Israel be glad. This is a repetition of verse 7 of Psalm 14. Psalm 14 verse 7. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people. Let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. God has promised that the Redeemer will one day come to Zion and deliver his people in mighty power. Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah 59 verse 20. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 31 verses 33 to 34. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Romans chapter 11 verses 25 to 27. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. The King James Version reads in Psalm 53 verse 6, Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Now the word captivity in verse 6 does not refer to the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah made it clear that the Babylonian captivity would end in 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 25 verses 8 to 14. The phrase here captivity, the phrase bring back the captivity means to restore the fortunes, to radically change circumstances from bad to very good. There is a great awakening right now and response, there is a great awakening and response to the gospel taking place right now in Israel, today, in these times. And Jews are responding to the gospel as never before. Interestingly, most of these Jews who have received the Messiah into their lives have heard the gospel from Gentile Christians. The kingdom of God is being manifested on earth wherever the gospel is being proclaimed in its fullness. The day will come when Jesus Christ will return. He will defeat his enemies and he will establish his righteous kingdom on earth. Please read Zechariah chapter 10 up to Zechariah chapter 14. What a great time of rejoicing that will be when the prayer, "Thy kingdom come," is fulfilled. But what about the wicked? They have no future with the Lord because they preferred not to know the Lord and they refused him. They lived according to the desires of their own heart, not to please the Lord and glorify him. Those who reject Jesus will spend eternity apart from the Lord and will honestly be able to say in hell, "There is no God here." The defeat of the Assyrian army is described in Isaiah chapter 37. And we have looked into this passage earlier. Psalm 53 exposes and refutes the foolish unbelief of those who reject God. The boasting of the Assyrians brought judgment upon their lives. Now the latter half of verse 5 in Psalm 53 describes the scattered corpses of a defeated army after God's great victory. "For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them." Psalm 53 verse 5. Now for a body to remain unburied was a great disgrace in ancient Near East. In the ancient Near East, a body that remains unburied is a disgrace. Even an executed criminal was supposed to have a decent burial. Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 23. "His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." The Lord despised the arrogance of the Assyrians and he put them to open shame. So also will God do to the armies of the world that oppose him. And he will come and he will reign upon this earth and establish his 1,000-year reign. Christ will come and establish his 1,000-year reign. I read to you from Revelation chapter 19 verses 11 to 21. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe, dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, 'Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great.' And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse. And all the birds were gorged with their flesh." The atheist lives as if there is no God. You, as God's child, eagerly await life with God forever. Let us therefore not behave like Nabal. Let us not behave like Nabal fools who fail to know God. And they fail to walk with God. They fail to know God and they fail to walk with God because they don't know Him. Let us lay hold of our spiritual resources in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him and let Jesus Christ manifest Himself through us to the world that is yet to know Him. Let us truly be His witnesses. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?